Hi, hello again, everybody, and I'm Logan Eddie Morris, or at least whatever's left of him, right? And welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, this one titled Another Round. See what we did there? It's, you know, it's a bar punt. Anywho, I'm Logan Eddie Morris, and thank you each and every one of you for tuning in, and we got a lot to talk about and a little time to do it, so let's bring in, only have one character with me this week, and look, he's going to bring enough energy. It'll be just fine. Let's bring him in. He's the show creator. The man plays one hell of a band tune, I guarantee you that. And he is John Mayer's biggest fan. And maybe Martin Truex's too. Let's bring him in. Adam Carabine, come on in here.
Woo, woo, yeah. Woo.
Hey there. Oh, yeah.
It's Monday. Happy Racing Refresh Happy Hour Monday to you, Logan.
Yes, happy hour, right? Another yes. Round, happy hour.
Another round.
Some think it's a bar pun. Some think it's a NASCAR pun. Because
I love me a good happy hour. You know, what more could you want? Just some, like, you know, better prices on the things you already love. Great.
It's not really my thing. No, I'll take the happy hour food specials.
Yeah, they've got appetizer things sometimes. You know, it's good.
But it's not really my thing.
Cheaper goods is always good.
Cheaper goods is always good. Yeah, I can't really disagree with that.
I get that tattooed. There you go.
I was thinking of my next ink therapy, and I didn't have that in my contention, but I'll write it down.
You're welcome to use that if you like. Yeah, we could get matching ones. You know,
Can't wait. Can't wait for that.
Ink brothers from across a continent. There,
absolutely.
There you go. Anyways,
we're bringing the world together as we should. Anywho, why don't you tell the folks where we've been the last couple weeks? Where you've been? What you've been doing?
I have been very busy, which I feel like I say every week. This week was particularly busy. My partner, she was involved in a production, a one-woman theater show that I was playing music for. I was the musical director for it. So I've been literally doing that for the last week straight. So pretty much every night and I was working during the day and every night doing a show, and had the day off today, which is nice, but back in the saddle here. So happy to be back. How about you? What have you been up to, Logan?
I have it on good authority that you're off again tomorrow.
I am off again tomorrow. I know it's a real rarity. So yeah, seriously.
Little,
you're lucky I got dressed for the show here.
tomorrow though, it's underwear. My dog demands actually to get dressed. So what have I been doing? Well, not a whole lot. You know, we've been grinding. I got a wisdom tooth pulled.
Did you have that happen already? I knew that was coming. I didn't realize it already happened.
No, they put me right out, bro. I'm like, damn, they really put me asleep during that 10-minute little deal there. That's wild.
Isn't it? And it feels like it's 30 seconds. Then you wake up and you're like, oh, what's going on? Like, I'm in a different room. I'm all disoriented.
I lost a tooth.
They only just did one, hey?
Only did one, because the other ones don't bother me. And like, I'm like, well, if it ain't bothering me.
Yeah. Well, when I was like early 20s, I got all four of mine taken out at once. And it was just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am sort of thing. But, you know, you got to thank that Canadian healthcare. So, it's lovely. Actually, no, it was terrible. What a terrible ordeal to get your wisdom teeth out. I'm not sure how it is with just one, but let me tell you, all four, terrible.
I'm still not quite like 100% yet. There's still like a hole in my mouth. And it's like weird, man. It just,
yeah.
Because you worry about getting food down in there and it's just tough.
Yeah. Do you have the little syringe where you have to like clean out the.
I left that in the car. I'm rinsing out my mouthwash and just, praying.
Well, you do seem 25% less wise today, Logan. I think I figured it out. So
that is you're probably right, actually.
It's not your fault. It's okay. It's a medical procedure.
That's what we've been doing. If you're wondering, producer Peggy is fine. She's tending to some family matters. Nothing serious. Nothing wrong. She just could not make it to the show this evening. So. You and I are flying solo. Seat of our pants.
I know. Yeah. I have to push buttons. I still have to talk. I don't know what to do. Terrible.
You have to listen to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's bad enough with anyone else here, but now I have no one else to bounce it off of. So
Well, we're going to pray for you. And her ears must have been burning.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'll be darned. Peter, I was just telling the folks that you're fine. You're just tending to some family matters, and I don't mean the old school sitcom. So, not that that's not a hit, by the way. That is a hit. Are you a Family Matters guy?
I can't say that I really ever watched it. No. It's before your time. It's kind of before mine, really.
Sure. Like, I like a lot of things before my time. Have you noticed?
That's true.
My time is all encompassing. Matt Marr, how are you, sir?
Hello, sir.
Matt Marr.
We got some Canadian blood in here.
Canadian flavor going here.
Yeah. That's nice. You
guys having a syrup date later on?
I haven't a what?
A syrup date.
Oh, a syrup date. No, syrup. Today is actually, I feel like this is going to take a bit of a turn here. Today is a holiday in Canada, but it's not a good holiday. It's a holiday kind of in remembrance of basically Canada's terrible treatment of the Indigenous people back in the olden days. It's called Truth and Reconciliation Day. So while it's nice to have a day off, it's not one of those ones where you're like, oh, yay, what a holiday. It's like, it's more of a somber day today.
Yeah, it's kind of become what Columbus Day has for us. We had Columbus Day for years, and we still technically do, but like, we've all kind of been like, this is getting a little murky. This is getting a little, like, he didn't really sail the ocean blue for the first, no, he didn't, did he? Oh.
Yeah.
Does that textbook lie to us?
Matt wants to know if you like The Land Before Time. It's been so long since I've seen it, but it was probably really sad at the time. And yes, Matt, I agree. I would prefer a poutine date as well. I actually just the other day had myself a bison meat poutine. It's delicious. Freddie says, welcome back. Thank you, Freddie. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for coming.
Freddie, we appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate your loyalty.
Yeah. Matt did not have the day off. I don't know how they celebrate Truth and Reconciliation Day over in the East Coast, but it's all right. Sorry, buddy. Not everyone gets the day off, but I did.
That's all he really cares about.
TRD for short. You know what, Peyton? I'm sorry. I don't even remember what we were saying.
Truth and Reconciliation.
Oh, yeah. TRD. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go places. I'm a TRD guy myself. I mean, I don't own a car, but if I did.
We shouldn't make fun of truth. It is really important. So.
Yeah. If I did own a car, it would be a Toyota, no doubt about that.
I know. Would you have said that a few years ago?
No. No, not at all.
Interesting how that shifted just as Legacy Motor Club became a Toyota team.
Look, I'm loyal to a lot of things, and I'm not loyal to a lot of things. It just depends on the moment and their nerd.
Yep.
All right. What do you say we talk a little racing?
That's a heck of a preamble we've just had there. But let's get going.
That's going in the best of edition.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You didn't love the syrup joke? Come on now.
I mean, it's a low hanging fruit, Logan.
Well, I'm a short guy. It's all I can reach. Anywho,
let's
time for a weekend review.
Weekend review. Should we get like some theme songs for those?
If only we knew a musician.
I don't know. Yeah. So first we had our cup race. Well, not first, but that's the most important one, at least in my eyes. Maybe some people are mad that I said that, but
amen to that.
Ross Chastain,
beardless Ross Chastain.
I know, weird. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
First things first, Ross Chastain, grow it back out. Not cool. Secondly, was he kind of weird in that post race interview? Like, he was hyped, but like mega hyped, right? And like, fair enough, good for you. I'm happy you're happy, and I like that. I like a little passion in the sport, but like, I was like, whoa, dude, like, I hope I hope he's getting the piss test after the race there, because something seemed off. But this is what happens when I have the day off, Logan. I lose some of my tact, perhaps.
Those ears.
Matt Meyer says, I don't know how low-hanging syrup is considering it's inside the tree.
That's a fair point.
You know, Matt, Ross the boss. There you go. Peyton says, at first she hated the clean-shaven look, but now she kind of likes it.
Let us know in the comments below. What do you think of Ross Chastain's clean-shaven look?
Yeah.
Do you
not good.
Is a moose with a beard or a moose without a beard? I say Moose because he's sponsored by the Moose.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm really feeling it. It's kind of odd.
It's I mean, it's just different. Unnerving. It's unnerving.
Yeah, it's a little. Hey, what are you doing? Stay out of it.
Yeah.
Anywho, look, I love Ross's passion for this sport and for the fact, like, it's a big deal when you win. It is. It's a big, big deal. At the same time, I felt as you did, and I was like, he does know he's not in the playoffs, right?
I know.
And no disrespect to Kansas, but it's not a crown jewel. It's not, it's just another manic Sunday, if you will. And I mean, again, nothing against the fine folks of the Hollywood Casino 400. We enjoyed every bit of that. But
Kansas might be the best mile and a half on the schedule right now.
It is. But at the same time, there's nothing. You know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing extra about it.
There's no extra prestige to it.
Right. And so for me, I'm like, why is he so hyped? Like, this is not his first win. He's not in a huge drought, you know, like Kyle Busch is.
Well, he might disagree with that. He hasn't won since last year. And I think he probably thought he deserved a playoff spot and should be in there.
Well, this life is not based on what we deserve. This life is based on what we earn, Mr. Caterbine. I know you know that.
That's true.
You know, and Kansas Cup race and playoff, it was interesting. It was. Look, we've started the round of 12, and that is absolutely, we're down to 12. And, look, it was weird for me to see Christopher Bell essentially blow it.
Yeah. I mean, twice, really.
Because he was the car to beat, right?
Fair? Yeah, I would agree.
I think it was he and Kyle Busch in that order. And he just, you know, they just unfortunately kind of screwed the pooch. And they had a good day. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they had days that the rest of the field besides the playoff drivers would go, boy, I'd kill for that. But you felt like, boy, he is going to lock himself in because this is like his third straight pole. They found something special over there, JGR, at least for the 20 team.
It's true.
So, yeah.
He's one to watch for sure. Like, he's kind of – he's sneaky in a way. Like, and I don't know if we can keep saying that after he led, 122 laps? Like, somehow he's still a little bit under the radar, and I don't really understand why. I don't know if that's just my perception. I don't know if you agree with that. Like, there's – part of my brain says, oh, this guy is like a championship favorite for sure. He's just like bringing probably the best car, you know, 60 to 75% of the time, which is, you know, that's a lot in today's NASCAR. But then there's also part of me that's like, I think he's still being counted out a little bit.
I actually agree with you. So does my dog. Would you stop? Thanks. I actually agree with you 100%. I really do. Because I think that's because he's got Hall of Fame teammates, right?
I guess.
You got Denny Hamlin, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You got Martin Truex Jr., who, in my opinion, will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that's why. When we think JGR, we still don't think Christopher Bell, even though he's kind of had his coming out party. And then you got Ty Gibbs, and no disrespect to Christopher Bell, but Ty Gibbs has got a little extra special incentives because he is Coach Gibbs' grandson, right? So I think he's a little overshadowed by the Hall of Fame pedigree of his two teammates. And then, let's be honest, Ty's a little bit more vocal than Christopher Bell is. Ty seems like if you spilled coffee on Ty, he'd be very upset about it. Christopher Bell seems like if you spilled coffee on him, he'd be like, you know what, no big deal. I was going to change his shirt anyway. Not a problem. But whatever. Like, I have another one in the car. It's cool.
I'm just looking like Christopher Bell's last six starts. And let's talk about what sort of tracks are in those last six starts. We got Daytona in there. We got Darlington, which is like a driver's track, as they always say. Watkins Glen, Atlanta. Like, there's a real mixture in there. He has not finished worse than 14th in the last six starts. Like, that is impeccable.
That is consistency.
And let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4 of those six are top fives. There's a 7th and then a 14th. And, like, you know, how is this guy not just, like, I know I feel like I saw some headlines that Kyle Larson was, like, the championship favorite after he led all those laps at Bristol. And I don't know. I'm not ready to crown Kyle Larson yet, especially not with Christopher Bell still in the field.
Let me ask you, does that, are you implying that one C Bell is your championship favorite at this point?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. I'm finding it hard to argue against it, you know?
That's fair.
I can't even remember now. I think in our official picks, I picked Reddick to be the champion, but I think you and I both did, actually.
Yeah. Look, great minds think alike, and there's there's a lot of things, right? You and I disagree on, but apparently we're not disagreeing on that.
No, yeah. But Reddick has been a little inconsistent in the playoffs here, and as much as I was high on Reddick because he won the regular season championship and he kind of gutted out that tough race when he was like pooping himself and
the dog and
By the way, I was there. I'm suspicious of the narrative that he didn't actually. Did you hear this? Like, so he was saying on the radio, puking and pooping myself.
Kind of found a way to fight through it there. Which
then said, no, it didn't actually happen. But like, listen, I was standing by the regular season trophy waiting for him to come out after the race, and he was gone a long time before we took that photo. So I feel like he was having a quick old rinse down, you know.
It's because he changed.
Yep. I think so, yeah. Bell is not a bad pick, but we talk about peaking at the right time. I think Bowman is starting to figure it out. Man, nothing like a little extra motivation just to have everyone say, oh, maybe you don't belong in this ride. And he's having a hell of a playoffs.
And he said, hold my ally paint scheme, boys, because he is all of a sudden. There's a lot of people that had him getting, I don't remember where I had him exactly, but a lot of people had him getting eliminated after the round of 16. And now he looks like a championship favorite, at least as far as making the championship four is concerned. So, Bowman is certainly a favorite right now. Obviously, momentum is a fickle mistress, ladies and gentlemen. Matt, you know this. Everybody knows this. Momentum is fickle. So, we're going to one of the most fickle places of all time here this Sunday. Its name is Talladega, and that's where momentum comes to die. It will haunt you in a hurry.
Yeah. I was just looking. I double checked our playoff brackets. You, myself, and producer Peggy all had Bowman not making out of this round. So we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see.
But yeah.
Matt Morris, he'll be a day. Is Matt Morris, is that right now?
Oh, my goodness. Canada invades old Bama down there. Hopefully, weather-wise, things are going okay down there. We should probably even have a moment and just say, you know, our thoughts out with everyone affected by this hurricane.
Certainly.
And all that. It's been quite the disaster down there. So hopefully, I mean, at the end of the day, whether we race at Talladega or not is maybe not high on the priority list. Hopefully everyone's safe and doing okay. But that's a concern as well. So
it is for that Talladega crowd. Don't you kid yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. Matt's gonna find Bob Pockrass and party with him in the infield. I'm telling you, I don't believe Bob Pockrass knows how to party. I think they just put that on for the cameras, and as soon as it's over, he goes back to work. He absolutely is. I've met him, and I felt like even just saying hi to him was taking him away from his work, and I was annoyed. He was not rude at all, but he was just like, oh yeah, hi sir.
Hi, I'm busy.
Yeah. he's a busy man.
No, look, Talladega, let us know about your experience, Matt.
Seriously, that's
bring me back a Legacy Motor Club win, if you'd be so kind.
Don't worry about that, Matt. It's okay. We got to be realistic here.
Not Talladega, you don't.
That's true. What did you think of the Kyle Busch incident with Chase Briscoe and all that? What did you make of that?
I think that is a man that I think that we have a first ballot Hall of Famer and perhaps the only man of this era that's going to be in the GOAT conversation, and he's in his head. He's in his head, and he's feeling that pressure, and it shows. And so I think if you would have just waited another turn, I mean, he was too aggressive, and I think he knew that. And, I felt bad for him when he said that he's numb and he didn't know what to do. I mean, I don't know if, like, we've all been through some struggles. When you say you're numb, you're hurt.
Oh yeah. That's numb is code for everything hurts really badly, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
And Yeah, it's funny to hear you say, of all people, that you felt bad for him.
Well, like at a certain point, I'm like, this is a human being. This guy yeah. will go down as an icon in the sport. And we almost, I mean, it was near impossible to watch him beat himself for decades. And yesterday, at a certain point, he beat himself.
Yep.
And that's just not him.
Did you?
And I think if he has one win in the bank this year, that doesn't happen.
Right.
I don't think it's a lack of skill. I don't think he's washed up. Right. I don't think he's lost much at all, actually. I think it is he feels that pressure. He knows what people are saying. He knows about his organization. He knows he wants to have 20 straight seasons with a win. And
he said that from the start of this season. Even before he was out of the playoffs, mm-hmm. like that has been almost more important to him than the playoffs.
And so that's what I think that is. I think that's that pressure, and it's insane to say this, but Kyle Busch cracked under the pressure.
Yeah. Did you take any issue with the Chase Briscoe move there, kind of the block or the?
No, we need look, people. I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways in NASCAR and a lot of ways in life, but one I'm not is you need to get out of the way. Why?
Right.
Why? I'm competing just as you are.
If you're like five laps down, like that's a different story.
That's a different thing. But if I'm trying to stay on the lead lap, you don't know what that next turn is going to bring.
Briscoe is a playoff driver and Kyle Busch is not.
You have no idea what that next turn is going to bring. So you need to fight like hell to stay on the lead lap. You owe it to your guys. Look, Chase Briscoe and nobody else besides Kyle Busch and his team should give the flip of a wooden nickel about Kyle Busch and his sorry. I'm trying to do what I have to do because you just never know. We have seen time and time again in this era that one point makes all the difference in the world.
Yep.
And so I don't agree with it at any point in time, but especially this time of year, look, no quarter asked, no quarter given, boys. That's the way it is. I mean, that's
true.
It's just, we're coming down in the nitty gritty because, yes, it's playoffs. But even for the guys that aren't in the playoffs, every champion, every point, every move up in the standings is more money for you in your pocket at the end of the day.
That's true.
You know, and so we're just coming down to it where it's look, we're not here to play nice and play tiddlywinks. All right, well, I'm gonna make you mad these last 5 weeks because you're gonna get over it during the holidays. I'll see you at Daytona.
Right.
You know, you just. And that's what people pay to see.
Yeah.
You know, we're not out here. We're competitors.
I will say I respect that Kyle Busch didn't come out guns blazing at Chase Briscoe. It would have been easy for him to say, screw this guy, you know, cut me off, et cetera.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought we were going to get a Garrett Smithley type moment where, you know, I thought he was going to, because I was texting our mutual friend Ryan, who comments a lot on the show, and I was like, Kyle is going to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
And to his credit, I mean, yeah, clearly he's struggling, but I thought he was going to come out and essentially cut a promo, right? But no. I don't have any issue with it because, like you said, Briscoe's a playoff driver. And again, if you're trying to stay on the lead lap, playoff driver, not playoff driver, you're trying to do what you got to do. You never know when that next crash is coming. And, you know, because, I mean, cautions breed cautions. And next thing you know, you're in a different spot.
Yeah.
And every point means everything this time of year for both, frankly, the playoff drivers and on-playoff drivers. What say you? Did you have an issue with it? Did you?
In the initial moment, first watch, no seeing any replays, I thought it almost looked like Briscoe dumped him a little. And I thought, oh, that's not great. But upon rewatching it, I was like, you know what? Actually, like Briscoe was entirely within his right to keep in his line that he was already running. He didn't swerve. It wasn't like a huge block. It was just like, I'm not moving out of the way for you, the leader, right? And I don't have an issue with it. I think you're a playoff driver. You're clinging on to your playoff life here. And, you know, yeah, Kyle Busch's 20-year streak be damned, really. Like, that's you know, sure, after the race, maybe the next day you can go, man, you know, I feel bad for the guy. Yeah. You know, he's a respected veteran here, but on the track, I think the minute you start giving in those concessions, then you don't belong there, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a dog eat dog world in life, frankly, but certainly in NASCAR, and you got to get your bite. That's just the reality of it.
I shouldn't say you don't belong there. I just think you're not going to succeed because
it's a different time. I think when Kyle Busch was coming up, I think it would be, unless your name was Ryan Newman, you were probably moving because Ryan Newman ain't moving for anybody. That's well established, but it's a different time. We're in a different era. And frankly, while yes, I do think there needs to be more respect at certain moments, that's not really one of them because guess what? Somebody, I don't care if it's one guy, has paid a lot of money to come see Chase Briscoe or Kyle Busch compete. Mm-hmm. And damn it, that's, you know, as somebody that roots for a team that doesn't have a ton of success, every position does mean a little, it's a little something better. It's, you know, it always means something. So yeah, I don't have any issue with it. I'm glad you don't either. Because I know you can get a little more, I don't know if this is the right phrase in this setting and context. You're a little bit more conservative in those regards than I am as far as, because sometimes you'll see some aggressive and you go, that was kind of Bush League. Yeah.
No, that's fair.
So
I didn't have a problem with it.
Where I'm much more, look, did he cut a limb off? All right. Yeah.
Well, you and I disagreed on the Austin Dillon thing earlier this year, and you know, we're still friends. It's all right. I don't mean that kind of disagreement. We're just like, I don't. I felt like it was too much, but I don't know. The thing is, like, if you start making excuses for other people, as like, let's say you're Chase Briscoe, and you go, Kyle Busch is going for this 20-year record thing. You know, maybe I think you can go up and down the entire list of the entry list and have a legitimate reason for any of them and say, it would mean a lot for Austin Cindric to win this race. So maybe I shouldn't race him as hard. You know, like there, I think everyone has some desire there that is, you know, you can't play to their desire. You got to play to your own, right?
Yeah, so. To quote a guy, you know him well. To quote a guy, that sounds like an ish you, not an ish me.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. That's like, I think you can feel bad the next day, but in that moment, yeah, with you, butts are about it. Like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
We're not getting paid to suck face here. We're getting paid to compete. There's a lot of money, a lot of sponsors, and a lot of fans that put their hard earned money in the pockets of these organizations. And so it's important. Anywho, any other final thoughts on the Kansas Cup race?
No, I don't think so. I just think Kansas is great. You know, it's a shame that it's in kind of a market where I don't want this to sound like I'm dogging on people from Kansas, but it's not one of the premier like TV markets. You know, I'd love to see Kansas host like a championship race, right? But they probably would never do that because just wouldn't draw the same attention as like a Phoenix or a, you know, anyways,
that's all. I feel like it, you know, maybe it would with that kind of great racing they're consistently doing right now.
That's true. Maybe. I don't know. I would be shocked if we ever saw
with the kind of great racing it's putting. I think that's only going to help those sales. Cause it's, you know, unlike, and no disrespect to what we saw last week. And if it's your cup of tea, it's your cup of tea. I'm not trying to yuck your yum. But with Bristol, what we saw at Bristol does not help sell tickets.
It's true.
Again, there are people out there that like what we saw, that kind of old school Bristol beat down, Richard Petty going to have him by 11 laps sort of thing. And that's awesome. If that's your thing, awesome. Not knocking that. But in today's world of...
I'm knocking it. I'll come out and say I'm knocking it.
Well, I like it. I'm gonna save my knockage for just a few minutes here. Just hold on. Just hold on. I got something for you.
All right.
But in today's world, I don't think that helps sell tickets. And I think the only reason that continues to sell well in the fall is because it's a close cousin, if not sister, of a crown jewel. Because the spring race doesn't draw flies.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Like, yes, it's still a lot of people, but it looks empty compared because it is a Coliseum. So anywho, I just think that we'll see those crowds and those attendances and those ratings continue to go up as we see more solid racing at Kansas. And they've struck gold here. There's something about this car and this package in Kansas that is, you know, it's the Reese's peanut butter of NASCAR. I mean, it's a real, yeah. I don't know if you're a Reese's guy, but.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit. Eric Almirola, you know, part-time in these days. Look, from going fist to cuffs to he hits us. And see what I did there? That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Coach Gibbs can say he gets us W's. You know, playoff spoiler. You know, good for Eric Almirola. I don't have anything against him. He's never been my, like, I know he's a 43 guy, but he's never been my favorite dude in the world. He's just kind of there.
He's, as the kids say these days, boring AF, I believe.
Yeah. And so,
I'm going wild today. I'm sorry.
What an interesting evening we're having on recently fresh happy hour.
Yeah.
Shout out to Connor Zillage, says Matt Moore. Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Connor Zillage. That young man has got a bright, bright future. I mean, he's like the 10 buck three. He needs to wear some shades. No doubt about it. Come on, tell me now.
10 buck three.
It's on.
I've never heard that before. That's good.
But you've heard the song, right?
No, is that a song?
Yeah, that's a band. Future Soap. I'll send it to you later. Okay.
So I don't know all your references, Logan. I'm sorry.
No, well, that's all right. We're like Pat Benatar, buddy. We still belong together. Anywho, that's right. Do you know that one?
I do, yes.
Okay, good. Lord. Yeah, you know, I think it's cool for Eric Almirola to still get a win or two because, like, now he's the grizzled vet down there on a part-time basis. And I think there's value to that. But you kind of hate seeing him play playoff spoiler when it's like, bro, you don't even go here full time.
Yeah.
Matt Martin says I assume you're talking about Zillage, that he's a generational talent in your mind. I completely agree. I think this kid's future is just, I think he's going to go to the moon. I really do. Now, obviously things can change. We've seen a lot of blue chip prospects that didn't turn out the way we thought it would. But at this moment, I got nothing but faith.
Well, he's got a good opportunity next year too, yeah. Right? In the Xfinity series there with Junior Motorsports.
And Dale Jr. is, and we've talked about this before on the show, Adam, Dale Jr. is great at scouting talent. You can say whatever you want about the individuals. I know people have their opinion on people like Noah Gregson and all that. But time and time again, Dale Jr. finds somebody that at least, I'm not saying they're winners or Hall of Famers, but they belong in the Cup Series.
Yep.
And so he continues to do that, and so he really has his hand on the future of the sport, and I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
His future is extremely bright, and I think to have the kind of mentoring that he's going to get from Al Guyer and Dale Jr. from afar is only going to do him a ton of good.
Yeah, agreed.
In Kansas, it was Heim time once again. It's been a little while since the clock struck Heim time.
It has been a while.
It, in fact, did. You know, and look, he is, it, you know, it's kind of a, I'm not going to say it's a travesty, but I mean, let's be honest. He's probably ready for a cup ride. He's probably ready.
I mean, I recognize that the, truck series, the competition isn't maybe as tough as the cup series for sure, but yeah, he's got 6 wins this year in the truck series already. That's his 6th, and his average finish is 7.42, which is amazing. Very good. Yeah. Like
it's Kyle Busch-esque. You know, we talk about how when he comes down, Kyle Busch owns the truck series. That's what that is. That's Kyle Busch-esque. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say so. Yeah. That's, I mean, now to be fair, I'm going to give someone else their flowers. Christian Eckes, his is 2 spots better, 5.5 in the truck series. That's insane. That's like, some might even say Richard Petty-esque.
Oh, easy, pal.
From back in the day.
But how many wins has Christian got?
He's got 3. So half as many. But maybe that speaks to a little bit more consistency too, right? Anyways, yeah. Corey Heim gets it done.
Gotta have that ice water in the veins.
Yeah. And I wish, can we just talk about this? I'm going off on another tangent here. I wish that the playoff rounds would line up within each series. It drives me crazy. I'm like, wait, is this a cutoff race for? No, this is the starting race for the round of 12 for Cup Series, but it's also the finishing race for the round of 10. And it's the very first race of the playoffs for the Xfinity. Like, what is going on? Why can't we just have them line up a little better? It's very confusing. Do you agree? No, you don't
absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely. No, it's annoying. It's annoying as hell.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's messed up some of my tags on the website because I'm like, is it a playoff race? Is it not? Is it?
Yeah.
Xfinity. No, it sucks.
Agreed. Okay, that's all. That was the cutoff race, though. So we were going to talk a little later about. I don't know what about the playoff picture. Do we want to do that now, or do you want to do it later?
Sure, we can do it now.
Yeah, you know, we're loose and colorful today. Daniel Dye gets he gets the cut. He does not make the cut, and so does Ben Rhodes. Were you surprised by this, Ben Rhodes?
Yeah, two-time champ.
Two-time champ, defending champ. No.
Yeah, defending champ.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was defending that mamma jamma.
Yeah.
And so I was surprised by it, but again, it just shows what a fickle mistress the momentum is, right? This sport humbles you in a hurry. I mean, I know all do, but NASCAR's got a way of we saw it this week with Kyle Larson, right? I mean, he owns Bristol, and then Kansas doesn't go quite. What is going on?
Yeah.
So for Ben Rhodes, it's kind of same thing. It's like this guy probably comes into the year as a championship favorite. There's no reason to think not.
Yeah.
And then he's exiting the first round. It just goes to show you never know. And so, yeah, I was surprised by that. Daniel Dye, not so much. That's kind of a newer team. That's his first year over there because he was a GMS last year.
Right.
So I'm not really surprised by that. Always disappointed to see the 43 lose out, though. And that's even the petty font. He's allowed to use it because he was close friends with Adam and things like that. He's close to that whole family. So,
I'm curious, even just like, I feel like after winning two truck championships, Ben Rhodes was maybe getting penciled in to like, hey, is he going to move up to Xfinity? Is he going to get a, does this hurt his chances moving forward of moving up?
I don't think he ever moves up regularly. I don't think so.
No,
no, no. I think he's a Matt Craft and lifer.
Really?
I don't see it. I don't see it. There's not one rumor out there. There's not one innuendo out there that goes people that are knocking down their doors to be like, man, I want Ben Rhodes.
Right. I mean, rumors aside, though, I'm just talking straight up results. Like, it's a two-time truck championship. Does that not at least like warrant a look in the Xfinity series? Like, is it a funding thing for him, or?
I think it probably is a funding thing. Yeah, it certainly warrants a look. I'm not trying to downplay the accomplishments of Ben Rhodes. If you're a champion in this sport, let alone a multi-time champion in this sport, you've done something right. I don't care what level. I don't care what level. But I just don't ever see. I don't know. I don't know if I ever see him moving up. I don't know. Because it feels like if he was going to, he's been passed over a couple of, especially in the Xfinity series. There's a spot for everybody there at some point or another. I mean, that's not, again, I'm not putting down the quality of competition or people in the Xfinity series. It's just there's a lot of revolving doors there. Fair?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, and there's no team maximum. Like you can field five cars if you're a team there, if you want, like it's, there's less restrictions on that. Like there is in the Cup Series. So.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I ever see it for Ben Rhodes. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am because it would be a good story. Cause I think the point of the Truck Series, other than, the point of the Truck and the Xfinity Series, other than allowing some old schoolers to kind of hang on, which is cool too, is to develop and get to the Cup Series. That's the whole idea. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't have a good feeling about it.
That's fair. That's fair. So I don't always pay attention to the rumors and all that as much, but
that's what I'm here for. Right? That's why I send you the links.
There you go. Ben had his chance in Xfinity. He just couldn't pull it off. Ben is fantastic, but even though I'd like to see another chance at a higher series for him, he's right at home in trucks.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna win another title or two in the truck series, man.
I can see that. Yep.
I really do.
But not this year.
Yep. It's NASCAR giveth and NASCAR taketh away.
That's right. Do you want to talk the other series quick here?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the first race of the round of however many it is for Xfinity. What are we at, 12 for them? first race of the playoffs for Xfinity. It's a pretty close race, but it's also early, right? So you got Justin Allgaier, 1 point below the cut line. That's a little surprising.
Pressure.
AJ Allmendinger, I mean, he's 13 points out right now, but we've also got the Charlotte Roval in this round. So
if he survives, if he survives Daga, he's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Parker Kligerman is minus 15 and Sammy Smith minus 23.
I think Parker, you know, on this unofficial farewell tour, as it turns out, he's done with full-time opportunities. I think he's in trouble. I think Sammy Smith is in trouble. Sammy Smith is super young though. He's a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know if he shaves yet.
Like, there's room to grow there for sure. Yeah, but
he's got
facial hair.
he's got time. And so all this, like, I'm not saying he couldn't surprise us and win it all this year, but what this is valuable experience going forward. Yeah. I mean, it's valuable experience going forward, but Allgaier, he knows how to get it done. And again, if Allmendinger survives Daga, meaning doesn't get caught up in a crash, I have all the faith in the world in Allmendinger because the Charlotte Roval was coming up. And personally, I think you can kiss the baby when you put Allmendinger in that kind of position. I think he's going to come through because those guys, you can't put him in a position that he's uncomfortable with. He's been around too long.
Yeah. Matt Marr saying Parker's in a must-win situation. He's not bad at road courses though, too. Kligerman. So
he could get it done.
Like, didn't he win at Mid-Ohio? Yeah, so I mean, he
could get it done, and obviously Talladega, and you know, anybody can get it done at Talladega.
I will I'll give some flowers to Shane Van Gisbergen, SVG. An oval track, Kansas. You know, he's not necessarily known for his oval prowess, but he came in with a disadvantage in the playoff points. And he's plus 8 on the playoff line right now. And again, if he even gets below that line after Talladega, he could very well go out and win the Charlotte Roval. So,
yeah, I mean, it's gonna, what a duel that would be if it was Allmendinger and SVG. I mean, that's, you talk about at the couple of gunslingers at the OK Corral, boys. Say what? Well,
even if they're like maybe they're battling for one of those final playoff spots too, right? So it'll be more than just the road course victory. But
yeah, look, I'm gonna use you up if I got it because I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, for sure. So that's interesting. And of course, we got the Cup Series side. I know we're just, you know, don't want to go too far on this, but. Close battle down at the line there. Tyler Reddick, the regular season championship, minus 4 on the line. Daniel Suarez, minus 14, a surprising minus 14. And I feel bad saying that, but like, not as bad as you might expect.
No. I'm Briscoe, surprised it's gone on this long, but again, it could continue because, again, Daga,
it's true.
Frankly, the Roble to a certain extent leads to who knows what may happen.
I know.
Next thing you know, everybody's barreled into the Heartbird turn.
Yeah.
They're flying around like, wow, no ball is back there.
And Suarez's first win came at a road course, Sonoma, right? Yeah, so
nothing's out of the question. And that's true. About this time of the year. I mean, think about it. Every other sport, you know, playoffs, everybody, you know, MLB, the playoffs start tomorrow. Everybody else is going home if you didn't make it. Not NASCAR.
No, yeah.
40 drivers at entry list this week, and everybody's trying to get one more before we say sayonara to 2024.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a fascinating.
But so it's interesting. Like if you think about I keep interrupting you. I'm bad at that.
It's your show.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Love you. You can interrupt me anytime. If you look at the people who are below the cut line, you got Reddick, Suarez, Chase Briscoe, and Cindric. And then you look at the two races remaining, like Suarez has had a great super speedway package this year and is decent at road courses. You got Briscoe and Cindric who are both great at road courses, or at least have been at times.
And Cindric got that Daytona 500 win.
Yeah, right? So I have a hard time thinking that all four of these that are below the cut line are going to be the ones eliminated. It's a tight field though. We got Logano, Elliott, Bowman, and Hamlin all just above the cut line, but Hamlin's the highest at plus 11. Like that is not a safe lead by any means. So,
and, you know, and then not to mention when you go into something like Daga or even the Roval to a lesser extent.
Oh yeah.
These guys that aren't in the playoffs, what do they got to lose? They can make that move and they can risk it all. It's either going to work or it's not going to work. And what difference does it make to them?
Yeah. Well, that's like, you got a Kyle Busch, or at this point now, even a Martin Truex, right? Who's now out of the playoffs, who wants to win in his final season. Does that, you know,
no risk.
Does some big move that maybe doesn't go well because they have nothing to lose take out, you know, Larson, Hamlin, and put them in a deficit going into the Roval, which is not a place you want to go in with a deficit at all, right? So,
no risk it, no biscuit, my boy. That's what it's all about.
That's true. Yeah. Anyways, that's our playoff picture update there. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. But
you want to do some NPR headlines?
I think we should. Yeah.
Let's do it. Chasing that neon rainbow, living those honky-tonk dreams. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Kind of the biggest news coming out of the week, Ty Dillon is back in the Cup Series in 2024. He's going to replace Daniel Hemric. They haven't said what number yet, but
no, they did, didn't they?
I don't think so.
I think they said they're doing the 10.
Oh, they're doing the 10? Okay.
Yeah, he's going to the 10. There'll be no 31 next year.
So they're giving that back to NASCAR then?
They are, yes. So I could be wrong. My understanding is he's going to be in the 10 for sure. But
okay. So
now you've got me questioning myself. So
I'm gonna let you start thoughts on the Smith.
I'm not a fan of the idea. The Dillon brothers, it's time for them to go, both of them. I'm not gonna get into Austin today because you know what, his seat is not in jeopardy. Actually, neither is Ty's anymore. It's official. But I don't understand it. I mean, sure, he had a couple nice little races down in the Truck Series, but he's also like kind of just lost his ride in the Truck Series. Like he's basically just been passed over in the Truck Series, like because he's not really doing much.
Yeah, he's a driver coach now.
Great. But like,
yeah, I know.
And then they're like, well, you know, not good enough for the Truck Series, but hey, you know, we'll throw you a Cup ride, especially with a team like Colleague who claim to be trophy hunters. I do not see Ty Dillon winning anything in the Cup Series for sure. Like, I mean, I don't see him winning in the Truck Series. He didn't. He had a chance. He didn't. And so like, what are we doing? What does Ty Dillon bring other than like some good graces from old, you know, Papa.
And guess what? They mentioned in the press release that they're looking forward to continuing their technical alliance with RBR.
There you go.
When I saw it in the press release, I went, Pop has struck again.
Seriously.
There
you go. They did acquire the 10.
When I saw that in the press release, Adam, I went, Richard Childress is one of the greatest negotiators I've ever done.
Yeah. And like, this is the same Richard Childress that said NASCAR has changed forever after Austin Dillon had his like playoff eligibility stripped away. And like, I don't know, we have seen some great clean races to the end, you know, since then. And
it's forever is such a short time. So
I know, just like, come on, dude, like go sit on your couch at home now. You've had a good run, RC, and like I'm sure his couch is still covered in plastic, and like, you know, just go like watch the races from home.
Oh, he's not ever doing that.
He's
the skater, ready to go.
This whole family needs to leave.
We do have a bunch of lifers that are in ownership positions that just go, we're not going anywhere.
I know, but
you have to kill us first.
But it, like, okay, yeah, you could argue that about like Joe Gibbs and Mr. H, but yeah, like at least they're putting up, you know, wins and stuff, like they're competitive. But Ty Dillon, I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I actually like, and I like Ty. I think he's, I don't ever think he's gotten a completely fair shake because he's never gotten the same loyalty that Austin's been shown. I'd like to see that in some ways. But I agree. I think that horse has kind of left the cow, you know, that horse has left the barn. I think at this stage, no disrespect to Ty Dillon. I'm really, this isn't the time to be like, hey, Ty, you too. It's not what I'm trying to do. It's at this point, there's got to be better options for colleague, in my opinion. Now, if this was a Rick Ware move, I kind of couldn't blame him. He's a veteran. He's got a lot of experience, and he could help a little bit with trying to build a program.
Right.
But you're right. Colleague says we're trophy hunting. And look, with all due respect to Ty Dillon has got more talent in his pinky than I do as far as driving a race car. I'm not denying that.
Sure.
There's no trophies to hunt with Ty Dillon. At least
they should change it to trophy punting.
That is the light of night. Change it to trophy punting.
Like, so, Zane Smith. Would you rather have Zane Smith or Ty Dillon on your team?
At this stage, Zane Smith.
Yeah, he's sitting without a ride right now.
And again, it's...
There could be some deal made that we don't know about, but like, that's just one example. There's a ton of talent down in the Xfinity and Truck Series.
That we could certainly give a shot to. Look, I'm not trying to put Ty down. I think if you were a organization like Rick Ware that is trying to build or something like that, or one of those organizations like Live Fast and BJ McLeod, they're trying to survive. I think he's an option to kind of get you through, but I think it goes against your antithesis of what you say as an organization. When you're like, we're here to win, we're here to compete. That doesn't feel like a move that screams that to me. That feels like we're, for lack of a better term, I know you said it kind of in jest, but it does. It kind of feels like they are punting on their mantra. And yeah. So I don't like that. And I don't want to make, to quote Shakespeare, I don't want to make much ado about nothing here. And that's right, a little Shakespeare quote. I'm a well-read man, Adam. We just read different things. So I don't want to make too much of it, but this, we could look back at this and go, this might have been the beginning of the end.
For colleague?
Yeah. Because I just feel like it's a complete, like you said, you said it in jest, but I think you hit the nail on the head. It does. It feels like a complete punt on everything they stand for.
Yeah. And I mean, sure, the results have not been there in the Cup Series like they have been in the Xfinity Series for them, but like, I don't think this is the move to grow your Cup Series program at this point.
I don't either. If it was a lower tier, which is not like colleague is supposed to be one step above that.
Yeah.
If it was lower tier, I think this is fine. If it was Rick Ware, I'd say, you know what? Ty's got some experience. He can kind of help you through. He can teach you some things. That makes a level of sense. But it doesn't make sense.
Even that, I would say, really? Again? This guy's getting another chance.
And I hear you on that, but here would be my rebuttal to that. And again, this is hypothetical, it didn't happen. But my rebuttal to that would be, look at his number of starts. There's value in that. He's had a lot of Cup Series starts.
But my rebuttal to that is, I don't know if he has deserved many of those.
He really did all right at Germain Racing. Look at those numbers for that funding, that team. He did do okay. He really did. They were shut down due to COVID, and just didn't make it. But
don't make me pull it up.
I don't mean that you should do it now, but I think maybe after the show you'd be a little surprised at how well he did for that underfunded team. I don't really like this move. Corey LaJoy and Justin Haley ride swapped. Essentially, we had NASCAR's version of a trade, which is an extreme rarity. Matter of fact, it's the first one I can certainly recall. I know there's been a few more. I've done some digging since.
There have been some that were not like presented as trades, but this was like a joint press conference. Yeah. Like,
this is, hey, we got this weird guy. Hey, we're checking this guy. We'll high five on the way out.
Super strange.
And if I'm Justin Haley, I think he won the trade, and I'll tell you why. Because he's got a guarantee for next year, and Corey LaJoy doesn't.
Yeah.
That's not to say that Corey LaJoy won't be back next year. He very well could be. He very well could be. Another guy you're really high on. That's why I said that.
I know.
Good for Haley going back to Spire. We feel like Spire's on the upswing. We've come to the conclusion, or I am anyway, that maybe Corey LaJoy might be the problem. And so we're going to see on that. I'm not going to make too much of whatever happens this season for either one of those gentlemen, because it is an adjustment period for both. But, because you got to learn everybody's new verbiage and the whole deal. It's a lot. It's a lot. And so we're going to call it a mulligan for these last final races of the year. But then come Daytona, that's when you start that's when I really start kind of comparing Justin Haley to Corey LaJoie, because we have a lot of questions about the seven that haven't been answered.
Yeah.
Is it a Corey LaJoie issue? Is it a funding issue? Is it, and so that is, that's a great question that we're going to finally get the answer to, I believe.
I don't like to do this because I'm not a huge Corey LaJoie fan, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. The one other thing that is a bit of a wild card in this situation is that next year Rodney Childers is moving to Spire as well. And so I don't know if that is a fair comparison, because I feel like Rodney Childers brings a real wealth of experience and like know-how that Spire has not had yet. And so if we can see Justin Haley in the seven next year, really performing a lot better than Corey LaJoie, as much as I would love to dunk on Corey LaJoie because I'm not a big fan, I don't know if it's a completely fair comparison. That's all.
Good man. See, the one of the finest gentlemen walking the face of the earth is Adam Carabine. I tell you,
I try to be objective.
I tell you,
but right. If you want to talk guitar playing, John Mayer or bust, and don't at me. So,
well, we can certainly chat about that after the show. What do you say we do our weekend preview?
Well, there was one other little thing here I wanted to just talk about. Yeah, did we miss this one? Yeah, the Netflix series is coming back next year.
I love the first
kept secret. I think we kind of knew that was coming, but it's been officially announced.
I love that because I think it gives the sport a different light. And I mean, people that aren't NASCAR fans will get bored and like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. I mean, NASCAR is such a niche to a lot of people that, I mean, it can open up a lot of eyeballs on a massive home like Netflix. I mean, you know, I know we have more streaming services out the wazoo these days than insane, but Netflix is still probably, in my opinion, the quote unquote king of the mountain because they're the OG.
Yep.
You know, we don't, you know, and I don't mean to be crass here, ladies and gentlemen. We don't say Peacock and chill. We say Netflix and chill, right?
Yeah.
That's I don't mean to be crass. Don't mean to be obscene or obtuse or any of those things. Listen to my big vocabulary this evening, Adam. Be
really good. I'm impressed.
But there's a certain, they're in our zeitgeist in a way that the rest of the streaming services aren't. So yeah, I think this is great for NASCAR. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, being from Canada where NASCAR is not, you know, one of the probably top 15 sports in anyone's, you know, radar.
It's gone.
I know some people who are like, hey, you know, they know that I am into NASCAR and they're like, hey, I checked out that Netflix series last year. And they're like, yeah, that was interesting. I might tune in. And I've had some people who have like watched a race here and there. Is it enough to like make them full fledged fans? Maybe not, but I think it's a start. You know, it's just like, it's more than just driving around in circles, which is kind of sometimes the knock that at least up here, I don't know if you get that much down.
Yes,
the
state,
but
yes.
Yeah, it's yes, like, isn't that all they do? They just drive in circles. You know,
like, no, it's way more than that.
There's a lot more that goes into it, you know? So
like, first of all, there's road courses.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch on this comment from Matt Maher. He said, I think it's already a fair enough comparison considering how many starts Haley finished ahead of LaJoie. In this year, do you mean, Matt, like 2024 so far? They're pretty close, but Spire is unquestionably better equipment than Rick Ware right now. No, like, so even if they're close, Corey LaJoie might have him by a few points, but yeah, it shouldn't be close.
Might have a point. All right. What do you say we do a quick weekend preview?
We should. Yeah.
There's
not a whole lot to preview. You almost made me say preview. Like you,
three races. It's insanity, people. It's where momentum. It's where momentum, luck, all those things. It takes a little bit of everything. Matt Maher says, wouldn't it make more sense now to have Prime to the dock instead of Netflix since they're not going to be broadcasting race. I get what you're saying. I do, but I think you take the exposure where you can get it. And again, no disrespect to Prime, but I think they're still kind of in their, I don't know if they're in their infancy anymore, but they're still a toddler. And so where again, Netflix is the OG of over the top streaming services.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's
maybe season three comes to Prime.
There you go. Maybe. I mean, I don't think it's actually Netflix doing it. I think it's a separate production company that just happens to be sold to Netflix. Is that correct? I could be wrong.
I believe you're right. I mean, I'm sure Netflix has a small hand, but overall, yeah. But yeah, it's Talladega this weekend, Sweet Home Alabama. That's right. There's nothing like Bill France Sr.'s version of Frankenstein, because that's what Talladega is. He said, you know what, Daytona's pretty big, but it's not big enough. And so you will see a pack of cars going 200 miles per hour, and they'll be fighting for their proverbial playoff lives. And frankly, with this kind of rate of speed, they're fighting for their actual lives. You know, I hate to say that, but let's just be real for a second. Danger ratchets up, and the danger ratchets up on these kinds of races, both Daytona, Talladega, frankly, Atlanta, with the high speeds in the short span. And so hope everybody stays safe, but also there's something in you that just loves the chaos of Daga, doesn't it? Maybe it appeals to our worst instincts, but it's something in me that loves the fact that here comes the chaos, baby.
It's true. I think it's almost more than a driving test. It's a mental test for the drivers, you know, and it's not so much about like who can do the best job, you know, arrow blocking from the front, you know, to take the win. It's like, who can minimize the damage of the day, you know? And yes, there are things that are what out of your control, certainly, but
can you survive?
Yeah.
The insanity that is Talladega,
right?
And Daytona. There's just, look, if you ain't first, you're last. That's the way it goes here.
That's true.
There was a time where this race was pretty close to a crown jewel as well. There are some that would say it is. If you look at some old NASCAR circles, they throw this in Bristol in one. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Anybody can win any week. I truly believe that, especially with weather coming down the line. And let's be honest, there's more parity now than ever. So if a crew chief gets something set up right, it can't, you know, you have a shot.
Yep.
But at Talladega, I mean, anybody can get it done.
It's true.
Anybody can do it. So with that, it's time for a little racing refresh picks.
It is indeed. Uh-oh. Here we go. Yeah. Producer Peggy, we miss you.
I believe she'll be back next week. I'm will you be back next week, Adam? Will you be back next week?
She's non-committal.
Will you be back?
Oh, me?
Yes.
I thought she was there with you. I thought you were talking to her.
No.
I'm here. I'll be here.
No, she's not in my house at all.
Actually. Well, I didn't think so, but then
she's about 2.5 hours north of me.
Just asked me with such a glimmer in your eye. I thought, oh, you must be talking to your loved one there.
No, I miss her, but no. I miss her dearly, boys. Anywho, Adam, update us on the score, would you please?
Yes, sir. So it's a really close race. It's like insanely close. I would like to just take a minute and pat myself on the back, because I have won again this week. And that is now 3 weeks in a row. It's not three consecutive weeks for us, because we had a couple weeks off and stuff, but three in a row for our stuff here. I picked Chase Elliott. Came second, you know, not too shabby at Bristol. But we are picking for Talladega and Logan, you get to pick first. Oh yeah. I didn't even say the score. Sorry. I've got 60. You and producer Peggy are tied at 59. We're literally 1 point away. Like, this is a heck of a battle. So
heck of a battle with just, I don't know, 4 weeks to go or so, 4 or 5.
I'm getting ahead of myself though. So yes, it is your turn to pick first. Who are you taking? And remember, you're open to any of the playoff drivers except for Truex, because that's who you picked last week. And when I say playoff, I mean top 16. Yeah. Top 16.
I'm going to go Clutch Clyde as well. I'll go Chase Elliott this week. He's got a Talladega before.
Yes, we did hear from producer Peggy that she is taking young Ryan Blaney, which is no surprise. And I am going to take here's the thing. I didn't even think about it, but I didn't think about it last week and I won. So maybe
really, really humble man.
You know what? I'm going to take Chase Briscoe.
All right.
He's on a heater these days. I think anything
can happen.
He's going to do it. First is worst, second is best. Easy for you guys to say as you're both tied for second. So I'll take first. Thank you very much. That's
great. We're getting down the nitty gritty, and I don't need dirt band boys.
Yeah.
All right. So
let's wrap it up.
It's been another great show. Matt, talk to the boss about those potential segments. I don't make decisions. I just do the damn thing.
We'll discuss.
It's true. And so with that, it's been a great show, but every great show must come to an end. And that's what we're about to do here. So that means it's time for closing time.
Dun, 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 dun.
Adam Caramine, you got any final words for me?
Yeah, I feel like I've been a little fired up today.
I like it.
Got a little extra energy. I guess I slept in. I had a little nap today even. It was beautiful.
Nice.
It's nice to be back. Thanks. Thanks for being here with me. And let's keep on going. I'm excited to see how the rest of this season shakes out.
Look, we're on the slow climb to 100, but we're going to get there.
We are getting there. Yeah. What are we? 57 today. Yeah.
57. So we're on the slow. It's a steep incline, but we'll get there.
It's fine. You know what? We're doing a valiant job here and we're bringing entertainment to the masses.
We appreciate everyone on. My final words, I do want to acknowledge, I know this is a motorsports show, but I want to acknowledge a passing of Pete Rose. I'm a diehard Reds fan, ladies and gentlemen, my whole family is. It's like, I don't want to overstate it, but the Reds baseball is like church in our family. What I mean by that is it's been passed down from generation to generation. It started with my grandfather who passed away at 90. He became a fan when he was 15. So it just, we've dedicated our lives to Reds baseball. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of one, the hit king, Pete Rose. Again, I know this is a motorsports show, but got that news a couple hours ago, and it was sad for me and my family. So do want to acknowledge that. Producer Peggy, we miss you. We can't wait to see you back.
And she says it's anniversary edition next week. Is that?
Yes. An anniversary, I believe she's referring to. We celebrate two anniversaries, and next week is one of ours.
Okay. Well, so, I will have to ask you about that next week because we are out of time.
Yes, sir. With that, we appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. Matt, thank you. Freddie, thank you. Producer Peggy, thank you for tolerating me. It's a miracle, I know. and so with that, we thank you. We'll see you next week. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.